If you love Christmas, then all your Christmases have come at once.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas!
This is Christmas Podding, the podcast dedicated to all things Christmas.
Rudolph, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Now you're all downloaded, let's talk about Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton. This is Christmas Podding.
Well, hi everyone, thanks for joining us. This is Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Ness. We're talking all things Christmas. So much to talk about on this week's podcast. Merry Christmas, Vanessa. Welcome to
Merry Christmas. Great to have you back on the pod.
What a busy show we have for you this week. Overseas Christmas traditions. You won't believe what they do in Japan that I think we need to bring over here to Australia ASAP. This is a great tradition that we've come across during the week that made me smile.
Yeah, my kids have been pushing for this one, actually. They've heard about this one.
And we're going to reignite the old Christmas tree debate, fake or real. We've got a lady joining us real soon that actually owns a real Christmas tree farm. So we've been saying fake for the last three seasons of this podcast. She's like, no. Let me tell you why you need a real Christmas tree in your house this year.
This is very cool. And I can't wait to hear her side of the argument because I admit we've been very one-sided in
our arguments. Absolutely. Why you should have a real Christmas tree in your house this year. We'll find out a little later on the podcast. Let's start with politically correct Christmases. Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays? What do you say, and do you get annoyed that Christmas is changing? Some people get quite offended by the words Merry Christmas. Where do you stand?
Oh, I am all for Merry Christmas. And yes, I do get annoyed at the PC police. Yeah. Sometimes, like, guys, it's Christmas. We know what it is. If you don't like it, you know, stay at home and watch your non-Christmas movies. Like, I just feel like this is something really special for those of us who do celebrate Christmas. And no one needs to take that away from us. And I think there's ways you can celebrate it while being inclusive of all beliefs and everyone, you know, everyone's backgrounds and upbringings. And, you know, but let's keep the Christmas.
It really bugs me when they ban Christmas cards from schools. Oh, you can't hand out Christmas cards this year. Or city councils say, oh, we're not going to decorate this year because it may offend who? Oh, I don't think it does offend.
No.
I think people that don't like it just don't partake.
Yeah.
It is hard to avoid.
Yeah.
It is that one holiday that is everywhere. I think we counted back to middle of September it was in the shops. Does that offend people? I don't think so. Yeah. It just means that it's something someone's celebrating that they don't have to be a part of.
Yeah. You know, there was a little boy in my son's class when he was in prep who did not celebrate Christmas. And, you know, the teacher really made it a non-deal. You know, it wasn't a big deal. It was like, oh, here you go. You do this colouring in sheet while the rest of the class does their Christmas tree craft. And he didn't come to the end of your concert. Like, you know, there are ways to do it. Exactly. Mm. Where, you know, it's not offending anyone, but those who want to do it still have the opportunity to do it.
I hate the fact that, you know, because of the attitudes of some, and I'm all for everyone having different beliefs, the attitudes of some, it gets wrecked for the majority. Yeah. Like, okay, if you don't like it, I don't think that many people are banging on about not wanting to be a part of it. I think it's those that want to defend those. Hang on, they can defend themselves.
It's the old vocal minority.
Absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely. So, hey, loud and proud Christmas tragics here. We're saying Merry Christmas on this show.
I mean, we're not going to call ourselves a nondescript time of year celebration
podcast
for those who may or may not celebrate in December a certain special event.
Although that is a great idea for an offshoot podcast that we may have to do at a later date. I actually don't hate the term Happy Holidays because I'm taking 2 weeks off and they're going to be the happiest 2 weeks of the year as well. We are talking fake versus real Christmas trees coming up in the show, but up next, what is the worst thing to find under your Christmas tree? You won't believe what one lady found that almost wrecked Christmas. We'll let you know next on Christmas Podding.
You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast all about Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. Look, we talk all things Christmas. Hey, thanks for joining us. Our names are Liam and Ness. What's the worst thing to find under your Christmas tree? We'll get to that in a second. One lady, she found an 8-foot snake.
Aww.
That's a big snake.
No.
If I found a snake under or near or around the tree, I would cancel Christmas.
Burn the tree?
I would take it outside and chuck it in the garbage bin.
Oh, that is a really nasty surprise.
I mean, I can understand that there are animals around or in trees. You know, you might find a bird or a frog or definitely spiders. I mean, we keep ours in the cupboard in the garage. There's all sorts of spiders out there. What's the worst thing, do you think, to find under your Christmas tree?
I actually got a nasty present under the tree this year in the past couple of weeks. Right. Now, as I've told you a few times on the pod, we got a puppy this year and it's his first Christmas, Charlie's first Christmas.
You don't even have to say it.
Now, no, it wasn't poo. but it's close. So this year, for the first time, I bought one of those lovely tree skirts.
Oh, yes.
You know, the piece of fabric that you put under the tree.
While we're talking right now, in the last 20 seconds, I've literally received a text from my wife, who's at IKEA, buying a tree skirt as we speak.
Oh, see, the tree skirt is the trend. Exactly. I love it. Okay. So, I've never had one before, but it really is a nice way to just, I mean, then you can't see the ugly wire legs of the tree or the cords. It just really, and it's a nice little, almost like a placemat for your presents as well. You know, just something nice to sit them on and around. So I got this lovely tree skirt and it has tassels. Now, I've been actually really pleasantly surprised by Charlie, the puppy, that he hasn't been stealing the decorations. He hasn't really cared too much about the tree itself or the baubles. Yep. The tree skirt, however, he's taken a real liking to, and he loves to sit under the tree and he chews at the tassels and he tries to pull it off. It's actually, it attaches with Velcro. So he tries to pull it off, but usually he can't, but he just loves to sit under there and chew the tassels. And I kind of let him go because I think at least he's not taking the baubles. Like it's actually, you know, pretty minimal damage.
A nice trade-off.
In the scheme of things. So the other day, the tree skirt was all tangled up. He'd been under there. So I like got down on my hands and knees. I had to really kind of slither my way under the tree to just fix up the tree skirt and just to lay it out nicely again. I get under there. What's that smell?
Oh, no.
What's that stain on the tree skirt?
A bit of a Christmas puddle. A Christmas puddle.
He'd done a wee on the tree skirt. So that was a lovely little surprise.
You were down there at eye level.
Yeah, I know. It was like right in my face.
Did you wash it? Oh, my goodness.
So thankfully, like, it's just a fabric one. It's machine washable. So straight in the wash. He hasn't done it again. But you know how sometimes dogs and cats will go back and wee on the same place?
It's his territory.
Exactly. So I just hope that it doesn't become, you know, a habit for him.
Listen, it could be worse. But it could be an 8-foot snake.
Yeah, exactly. It is better than a snake.
In fact, but an 8-foot snake will probably eat your dog. So,
oh, don't say that.
It's a small dog.
He's not small. He's medium.
It's supposed to be a laugh there, Vanessa. I sat through a 3-minute story. I was trying to lighten
the
tone.
Worth it.
It wasn't worth it.
Yes, it was. A good story.
It was a long story.
Yeah.
It's a bit of self-critique along
quality
the way.
Quality and quantity.
In the one break, who would have thought? Yep. You know what I hate finding under the tree is reused gifts. You know what the kids will try and, I haven't got something to give mum and dad. I'll wrap up something that I've had in the house for the last 6 months. And you got to grin and bear it and go, oh, great.
Yeah.
An old tin.
That's not great, is
That's
it?
Not good. Better than finding a Christmas puddle.
Yeah.
But there you go.
Or a snake.
We are talking Christmas trees coming up. Don't go anywhere because we have a lady that owns a Christmas tree farm. Doesn't that sound like the most romantic job in the world to have? You live on a Christmas tree farm.
But the visuals, like, I just imagine these rows.
Sounds like a movie.
Go off into the distance.
Sounds like a movie.
Like, I love it.
Overseas Christmas traditions on our podcast. We'll talk about the one tradition that's happening in Japan this year that we want to bring here to Australia. Up next on Christmas Podding.
We're talking all things Christmas. You've downloaded Christmas Podding, a podcast that celebrates Christmas, with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
Coming soon to Christmas Podding, the 12 Days of Christmas podcast.
Are you singing carols?
No, I'm not.
Please, sir, please.
I suppose I could.
There's a podcast a day, every day, in the 12 days before Christmas.
Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen.
Catch Liam and Ness every week and then let the festive celebrations begin as we release the 12 Days of Christmas podcast.
When the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even.
Coming soon to Christmas Potting.
Taking care of Christmas and doing it right. Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night.
This is Christmas Podding. We talk all things Christmas. Our names are Liam and Ness. And overseas Christmas traditions that caught our eye, it's a Japanese tradition. Would you believe the highest selling day for KFC in Japan is Christmas Day? And when I read that, I went, what? So more people eat Christmas dinner at KFC than any other place in Japan for Christmas. Their Christmas tradition is chicken. KFC sells out on Christmas Day. And I don't know why. It's just something I've never heard this tradition before, but I love the sound of it.
I have heard it. My kids learned Japanese at school, and they came home last year from Japanese class and go, Mum, you will not believe it, but in Japan, they eat KFC at Christmas.
On Christmas Day.
And they're like, we've got to do this, or we've got to go to Japan for Christmas. Like, you know, super excitement. But yeah, I've heard the same. Like, they don't. It's like, this is your day off cooking.
Yeah.
This is your day. You know, it's not like us where we spend hours laboring in the kitchen. They go, nah, we're going to go out. We're going to
take away,
eat KFC. And I'm baffled. Like, so I can't imagine it. I just can't.
I've been thinking about our Christmas Day dinner for the last 2 months.
Yeah.
The second I knew I was going to be hosting, every time I see a turkey roll in the shop, I'll text you and say, oh, I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, they've got some beautiful chicken at Cole. Oh, I'm thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, we've already talked about what size ham to get this year. They don't do that over there.
Aldi have the turducken back this year.
No.
I want you to try that.
Is it a chicken inside a duck inside a turkey?
Yeah, it's like a roll. So it's a meat roll.
Oh, there's no bones.
No, it is boneless. I believe overseas you get the actual full birds. But no, this is a roll. But I've never tried the turducken either. But 1 year, I reckon we've got to give it a go.
I'm a big fan of anything rolled. So a pork roll. I was speaking to my butcher the other day. I said, what are you doing for Christmas? He said, we're doing pork. We're going to put all pine nuts in it, all sorts of flavourings inside it.
Well, are you still doing your little mini chicken rolls?
No, I'm a bit off that. The mini chicken roasts, yeah.
You said that's what you were going to do.
Yeah, I know. I've had it since we've had that chat. I've done it 4 times and I'm over
it. So it's not special anymore.
I kept trying to perfect how long I should cook it for.
All right.
And the trick was to make
it
a bit longer than
them.
No, what I need is a bucket of KFC chicken like they do in Japan, which I think is a fantastic idea. Would I really do it? Probably not. Mm. Do I love it in theory? That could be my Christmas Eve tradition, I reckon.
Christmas Eve. Now, that's quite a good idea.
Because I want to get in the kitchen on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Like, part of it is the food we're buying, the menu, cooking for our parents. Like, you know, it's our time to shine.
I just can't imagine sitting down to the beautifully laid table and, you know, you've got your cloth napkins, you've got your place settings, you've got your beautiful decorations, and putting KFC on your plate.
And you have that little packet that you open to wipe your hands, the hand
wiper,
sanitizer.
And the fake mash.
Yeah. No.
I can't imagine.
We'll go with Christmas Eve, but we love hearing about overseas traditions. Coming up real soon, photos for your pet's Christmas Day. Yay or no? I already know where you're going with this one. I mean, well, I've done it before too. But is it a thing? We'll find out on Christmas Podding up next.
The most wonderful time of the year starts with a Christmas podcast. You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast where Christmas calls home with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. Look, we talk all things Christmas. Our names are Liam and Ness. Are you taking a Christmas photo of your pet this year? Now, we haven't got a dog per se at the moment. We are looking at the moment. We are getting close to buying a new one.
This is exciting.
Would you take a photo of your pet? We used to put a set of reindeer ears in our dog every year. Yeah. I hated it. I actually think it's the most naff thing in the world. But it's so cute, says some, not I. Mm-hmm. You love it. I know you do.
I know. And we've had a fight about this earlier this year, in fact.
Only because of two little words. I found an article that was titled Animal Cruelty and you got really offended by it.
I did.
I didn't write the article. I just found the article.
I know, but you were like hounding me about it.
That's your take on it. You're very sensitive about
it. Cute. Okay. In the past, I've definitely done the Santa hat on the cat or a ribbon around my cat Popcorn around her neck. You took a family photo 1 year where we brought Popcorn along.
Dressed
and
up the cat.
She hated it, but you know,
I had it taken the photo.
We got a cute photo.
It was a cute photo.
Now I've got a puppy this year and we obviously had Christmas in July and I bought him a little elf outfit for Christmas in July. That's when we had our little disagreement over animal non-cruelty.
Well, let me clarify that. There was a legitimate article that said pets don't like it, you shouldn't do it. Now, that's nothing to do with me. That's just the article I found. You disagree with it. I disagree with it, but I like to stir the pot.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, will I be doing animal photos?
Of course you will
be. Absolutely. Like, why else would you get an animal? I mean,
what, just for Christmas photos?
Yeah.
Forget the forget the 12 months of the year that it does these amazing things.
But he's got such a cute little face.
You've got a cute dog.
A little Santa hat.
You do.
And can I put a photo on the Facebook page?
Of course. You're the
he's
admin.
He's so cute. He's so cute.
You put one on there. What are you dressing him up in? The same thing you did in July?
Well, I found that Christmas in July elf outfit, but I think he's grown too much since then. I think I'm going to need a new one.
But where does one buy outfits for their pets?
Is it the department stores.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing. Oh, for sure. There's pet Christmas stuff all over the place.
There's money to be made. Don't you worry about that.
I haven't got him an advent calendar, though.
We need to bring up advent calendars because I saw one for cheese the other day and I thought, write that down for the podcast.
Get out. Yeah. I need that.
25 days worth of cheese.
Oh my
We're not
gosh.
Talking about that now. We're talking about your pet being dressed up as an elf.
Yeah, well, he definitely will be.
Okay. It's a yay from her. It's a nay from me, although I still took a photo
Embrace
of it last year.
It.
I love it. Coming up next, let's talk Christmas trees. Real or fake? We're going to be joined by a lady that owns a Christmas tree farm. We've said forever, fake trees are the only way to go. Mm. Will she change our mind? We'll find out next on Christmas Podding.
You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast all about Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Ness. Look, we talk all things Christmas and it's probably been the longest running argument on this show, real or fake Christmas trees. Now, we've always said as a show, multiple trees.
Yep.
And up until now, we've always said fake trees.
Yes.
You and I have had a couple of fake trees around the house. Imagine owning your own Christmas tree farm. Growing Christmas trees for a living and spreading joy to thousands every year. Gabrielle is from The Little Christmas Co. She joins us now. Hi, Gabrielle. How are you?
Hi, Liam. Hi, Vanessa. I'm well, thank you.
Could you be the biggest fan of real trees in Australia?
Quite possibly, Liam. I think I'd be up there, that's for sure.
All right, put this debate to end. Real or fake?
Absolutely real. Love a fresh Christmas tree. You can't beat the smell.
Okay, the main arguments that we've had against the real tree is that here in Australia, they seem to be a bit spindly. Like you see ones from overseas on the Christmas movies and they're bushy and big and the fact that they may drop their leaves and they may droop by the time we get to Christmas Day. What do you have to say to that?
I think generally, if you're talking about a sort of a spindly tree, they might be ones that someone's just sort of taken out of their back garden or back paddock, which is actually how we started. But the beautiful lush ones that we have are a Monterey pine, and they certainly aren't spindly. They're gorgeous and green and are at their best for 3 to 4 weeks, so they can still look beautiful right up till Christmas.
So it really is the type of tree, isn't it? It's only specific trees that are the ones that should be used for Christmas?
I think so. So it's a Monterey pine, and they're gorgeous, lush, green Christmas trees. I think if you're sort of taking one out of your back paddock or your backyard, and the ones you sort of see growing around, might not be the most gorgeous tree to have inside your home.
Tell us about the work that goes into growing Christmas trees for people to buy. How long does it take to grow a standard Christmas tree?
Yeah, sure. For the big, gorgeous ones, you can see that are sort of 2 metres high or even bigger. They take about 7 years to grow. So not a small amount of time.
Wow.
So there's a lot of time and effort that have gone into them. And there's also quite an art to pruning them to be the gorgeous Christmas tree shape as well.
So are you planning now for Christmas 2027?
Don't joke about that, Liam. We do actually have to do a bit of planning like that. Because they take so long to grow, lots of the trees are kind of pre-sold or booked from certain farms. So, yes, right from sort of picking seedlings or seeds, we have to be pretty organised.
So how busy is your year? Like, are you sitting around doing nothing until about November? Like, is it...
I wish.
I say that tongue-in-cheek. I know you're busy. Tell me about your year. What do you do when?
So we generally have a bit of a break in January. We take a bit of downtime. And then usually it's early February when we sort of get back on the phones and getting organised for that year. Really, when we hit August, that's when things really ramp up in preparation for the actual Christmas season. But by the time it's now, sort of November, I feel like I've been talking about Christmas tree for quite a while.
Oh, as have we. Now, have you noticed a bit of a trend then towards people moving away from fake and towards real? Like, why do you think you are getting busier each year? Is this a bit of a groundswell that's happening?
I think so, Vanessa. We sort of started out, it's actually my sister and I that work together, and we sort of started out as a bit of a hobby, I guess, and the demand took us by surprise The main feedback we get from customers is sort of two main things. One is around sort of space and sort of decluttering, and people don't want to store those plastic Christmas trees for 12 months of the year, you know, just to have them up for a couple of weeks. And the second bit of feedback we get is people love the freshness of a real Christmas tree. So the smell, it's a real tree. It's like having a big bunch of flowers in the house. I think there's a real trend around that and you know, going fresh.
I could name you three or four Christmas movies that are all set on a Christmas tree farm. Now, is your life as magical as those movies portray?
Absolutely. We'll keep up the pretense. It is a lot of fun. So, you know, you can get some gorgeous photos and things like that. But there is a lot of work that goes into growing them too.
We love talking the trends and the colour schemes and what's in when it comes to decorating each year. Do you have any insight or advice on, you know, how do you decorate a real tree?
I think as you would any normal tree, my personal preference is to, I usually sort of pick a colour or a particular type of decoration and just go all out on that one particular thing, because I like to keep it a bit simple. And I also think that keeping it simple sort of doesn't take away from the gorgeousness of the fresh, real Christmas tree.
There is something romantic about a real tree. And as you said, you imagine you're walking into your house every day and that smell of the Monterey pine, just, you know, you've sold us, Gabrielle.
I want one.
Yeah, we want one too.
I do.
Love it. It sounds so good.
Fabulous.
Thank you for coming on and explaining to us and really debunking the argument we've had for the last three seasons of this show.
I want to try this.
Gabrielle.
I want to get a real one.
Yep, definitely.
I actually have visions.
You won't regret it.
Of two small ones at my front door, either side of the door
as we walk.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You can never have enough Christmas trees. We can pre-order now. Where do we go to find them?
To www.littlechristmasco.com, or you can find Little Christmas Co on Instagram.
And we hope it's a bumper season for you. Thank you and your sister for coming on and having a chat to us about real Christmas trees. And it's just so fascinating. We've loved the chat. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
We're talking all things Christmas. You've downloaded Christmas Podding, a podcast that celebrates Christmas, with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Our names are Liam and Ness. And don't go anywhere, because coming up, the 12 Days of Christmas podcast, we're doing a daily podcast every day in the 12 days leading up to Christmas. Before we get there, Australia's best Christmas ham has been announced. They both come from Queensland. They were national ham comp every year. From Noosa, the number one ham in Australia is Noosa Meat Centre in Noosaville. And the second best is from Toowoomba, Gray's Modern Meat Mart. I wonder whether it's because they just grow better pigs in Queensland.
I'm not sure.
It's a national comp. What makes a good ham in your mind?
Please tell me you were part of this voting panel. I mean, you are the ham master.
I should get on the part. No,
surely.
I haven't even bought a ham yet this year. I know I'm.
Oh, that is late for you.
A couple of days off. No, I'll do a one for December and then one on Christmas Day.
Okay.
Got to be smoked.
Yes. Well, what I think makes a good ham is an excellent glaze. Now, either something along the lines of a marmalade, a ginger kind of flavour, or, you know, the maple syrupy brown sugar kind of glaze. I love to do the scored fat and then put the cloves in. I just think, I don't know how much it adds to it, but the flavour at the end of the day, but I just think the look of the scored ham with the cloves in it, you cannot beat.
I love the scored. The thicker the fat, the better. Then it renders through the rest of the ham when you're baking it. I just think that the pigs need to be of good sound mind before they're taken to the little Christmas shop.
How do you know that?
Just outdoor pigs. You just want really good, really fresh ham.
Just free range.
Absolutely. And I'm the same with eggs too. I switch from caged eggs to free range eggs. They're bigger.
Yeah.
Outdoor pigs are bigger.
Yeah.
But don't buy a big ham, though. We've said the last couple of episodes, the smaller ham, you don't want to. You know how on Christmas Day you buy the big 5 or 8 kilo one?
Yeah.
Still there in January, looking a bit manky.
Gets a bit slimy.
Just get a smaller ham.
Now, remember, my other tip from this year is, if you've got a hooded barbecue, do your ham in the barbecue.
That's right, you did that, didn't you?
Because I did it by accident this year, just because I needed the oven for the turkey and time was running out.
What a mistake. I thought,
I don't know if I'm going to be able to have both of these baked in time. And just popped it in the barbecue with the hood down and it was
amazing. You're just reheating ham. Ham's already cooked.
Yeah.
It's just a gentle warming
But when you've got that beautiful glaze and the cloves and everything, like, it really does just help to get those flavours infused. And it really does make the flavour incredible.
Nearly cracked a tooth on one of the cloves in your ham.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
Well, you've got to take that. I mean, that's the layer of fat anyway.
I didn't see it. Well, that's the best bit. You don't cut the fat off the ham. Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's the best bit. Oh, see, I need to sit with people like you and my wife. My wife's the same. She cuts the fat off and I'm
you
like,
take it.
Chuck it. Chuck it. Don't feed that to the dog.
All right, but don't eat the cloves.
That was an accident. Okay. I was chewing away on your ham. Okay. Oh, what's that?
Also, the flavour when you bite into a clove is very strong.
Really strong, really strong. We're going to wrap it up soon with a song of our own. We've done a whole heap of new Christmas songs to end the show, and your mail coming through the mailbag, we'll do that next.
The most wonderful time of the year starts with a Christmas podcast. You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast where Christmas calls home, with your hosts Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. We're about to wrap it up with a song of our own. We love singing out the show with one of our favourite Christmas classics. Before we get there, Podding Mailbag, you've been writing through to us, and lots of traction on the Facebook page. Thank you for your letters and your DMs. We reply to all of them.
Yes.
All two of them. So it's really easy to reply.
Oh, we love Mailbox because I think that it really just, it's a dialogue then. It's not just us talking to you about Christmas. We love to get your ideas, your feedback, anything you want to say to us. We'll read.
What have we got this week?
Paul has messaged in with a question. He said, do you make your significant other wrap your stocking stuffers gifts? So he's talking about the small little gifts that you might put in your stocking. Should they be wrapped or not? So he said he makes his partner wrap every little thing in the stocking stuffer, even if it's little things like socks, a toothbrush, underwear, shaving cream.
Absolutely.
Should everything be wrapped in the stocking?
Yes. People might peek in the middle of the night. Everything should be wrapped
in it. I've never wrapped anything in the stocking.
Have you peeked in the stocking, though?
No.
Oh, well, you're missing out.
Okay. So, yes, wrap and yes, peek.
Both. And half the fun is trying to guess. That's got to be a toothbrush. Oh, someone's wrapped up an old toothbrush.
It's not an old toothbrush. It's a new toothbrush.
Depends who's wrapping it.
Okay. Okay. Wow. All right. Well, I've learned something.
So you just put stuff in a stocking and don't wrap it. And hey, open this and there's some chocolate and some goodies in there.
Just little bits and pieces. Yeah.
I think everything should be wrapped. Every present should be.
Even if it's a small thing of chocolates.
Yeah, well, I'm not. If I'm being honest, I'm not big on the stocking full stop.
Yeah, it's not the main thing.
No. Yeah. So why are you buying little things? So I would rather buy bigger presents and have them all wrapped. But if it's going to be a stocking, wrap everything in the stocking.
Okay. Great. Well, I've learned something. I will be wrapping my things in the stockings. And thank you, Paul, for bringing it up.
Thank you. Let's wrap it up with one of our own, a new version of Last Christmas. We haven't played an old version for many months on the podcast, but we've been back in the studio, and this is our latest version of Last Christmas. We love to wrap it up with a song of our own. As we like to say, it's never too early.
It's never too late.
To wish someone a Merry Christmas.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.
Once bitten and twice shy, I keep my distance, but you still catch my eye. Tell me, baby, do you recognize me? Well, it's been a year, it doesn't surprise me. I wrapped it up and sent it with a note saying I love you, I meant it. Now I know what a fool I've been, but if you kiss me now, I know you'd fool me again.
Last Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Last Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.
Oh, that was awesome, Gabrielle. Thank you so much. That was really good.
So good.
Really good. Thank you.
Gotta try this.
I'm trying to turn it on for you guys. I hope that was what you're after.
No, you couldn't put any more ham on it if we tried. That's exactly what this whole show was about. It's just ham and spin. So what was the last one? Did you find it?
No, I'm just trying to get to message it. Oh, here we go.
Nothing like being prepared.
Well, you didn't have it either.
It's not my segment. The other eight were mine. The other eight things that I came prepped with.
Okay, fair point.
You're just being lazy. You can sing this.
No,
I know you can.
I'm singing exactly the same as
No, but I think you can sing.
Last Christmas. And you'd be like, no, you'd be way up there.
Obviously, you two have rung each other early and got your stories straight.
Well, Liam, some of us are music professionals.
Absolutely. I'm just here for and giggles.